Okay, Perek Yud Aleph. Actually, the last pasuk of Perek Yud was where we had left off. How many weeks ago is it now?
Two, three.
Actually, I think it's three. I think I missed 2 months. I missed 2 weeks. That makes it 3 weeks. The last thing we did was the last pasuk of Perek Yud, the response of the Yirei Elokim to the Chacham. גם במדעך מלך אל תקלל ובחדרי משכבך אל תקלל עשיר כי עוף השמיים יוליך את הכל ובעל כנפיים יגד דבר. The comment of the Yirei Elokim to the Chacham, who says to him, don't curse the king, be careful what you say, you're not the most powerful thing in the world, the birds are more powerful than you, stop complaining so much, stop thinking you're running the show. The Ribbono Shel Olam runs the show. You are just a peg or cog in the wheel. And then, Perek Yud Aleph, that's where we, and we talked a great deal about what that means in the response to the Chacham and the use of the expression cursing the king, which was a borrowed phrase from the Chacham's critique of the Yirei Elokim back in the previous Perek. Okay, I'm not going to rehash that right now. We're going to start from the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph. Shalach lach mecha al pnei amayim ki berov hayamim timtze'enu. Again, as we've done before, I'm going to go through the whole parak and then we'll go back and do it piece by piece. Send forth, cast your bread upon the waters ki berov hayamim timtze'enu. Because of the multitude of berov hayamim timtze'enu. Hayyamim could mean oceans or days. In this case, I think it means oceans. Kibarov hayyamim timtze'enu, with the multitude of oceans have cast your bread upon the waters, eventually one water leads to another, and eventually it will come back to you. Yeah, what does he say? It says days?
Days, yeah.
Interesting. All right. Won't be the first time that I've been disagreed with, but that's yeah. I mean, because it's not the dagesh is in the yud instead of the mem. With a patach instead of a kamatz. Okay, so I will stand corrected. We'll take it as days. Either way, it comes to it means the same thing. Kibarov hayyamim timtze'enu, multitude of days. Eventually, the it will come back to you. It works nicely if it's yam because it works with the cycle of water. But all right, I can work it either way. Ten chelak l'shiva'a v'gam l'shmona. Give a portion to seven and to eight as well. Ki lo teda ma yeh ra'a la'aretz. Because you never know what calamity will befall the earth. What is ten chelak l'shiva'a v'gam l'shmona? Diversify your portfolio. Put away a little bit for tomorrow.
Have a lot of friends.
This is a pasuk which is somewhat enigmatic and has caught the attention of many a medrash and a parshan because of the reference to 7 and 8. 7 and 8 are numbers that are not necessarily arbitrary. They have all kinds of hidden meaning in Jewish tradition, and so the mafarshim talk about 7 days and 8 days of Mila and 7 days of a Chag and 8 days of Sukkot and all kinds of different things. But the Pshat, I think, is along the lines of put something away for a rainy day because you never know when you're going to need it. That's essentially what the pasuk says. Im yimalu ha'avim geshem ala aretz. Im yimalu ha'avim geshem al ha'aretz yariku. If the clouds fill with rain, they will empty the rain upon the earth. We know that today very well. V'im yipol eitz badarom, v'im batzafon, mekom sheyipol ha'eitz, sham yihu. If a tree falls in the south, and it falls in the north, wherever the tree falls, it will be. Never a greater truism was spoken. What does it mean? What does it mean? Wherever the tree falls, that's where it will be. Sham Yehu. Right, what would be the possibilities of when the tree falls, that's where it will be. What happens when a tree falls? Dead. It's not going to move. It's going to stay there. Right? Or what happens over the course of time? Berov hayamim. Right? Decomposes and another tree goes in its place. Part of the process of the decomposition of the tree is that all of the seeds and all of the branches and all of the materials of life get replanted, and out of it grow new trees. Makom sheipol ha'etz, sham yehu. One tree falls and replaced by another, minimally another, if not many more. Shomer ruach lo yizra. One who guards the wind will never plant. One who watches the wind, one who waits for that moment, that particular moment when the wind is exactly right, will never plant, will never seed. And the one who is waiting for the weather to meet exactly what he needs and wait for the clouds to be in exactly the right time and place, the temperature right, and a nice day, and the clouds are clear, and if you wait for exactly the right weather, you'll never harvest your field. Because it'll never happen. Kasher incha yodea maderach haruach ka'atzabim bebeten hamleya kacha lo tedat maseh alokim ashi yaseh et hakol. Just as you don't know the way of the wind, you can never really be sure of the prediction of the weather. It's the only professional field in life today where you get paid big money to be constantly be wrong. Right, to never get it right. That's what they get. That's an amazing phenomenon. You don't know the way of the wind. Like the bones in a filled belly. What does that mean? Atzamim bebeten hamleya. Atzamim bebeten hamleya. What does that mean? Right. There is a certain fundamental limit to our knowledge, to our understanding. There are certain things that are beyond our ken. The weather? Let's put it into these terms. Prior to the invention of the ultrasound, two things you could never know: the weather and the gender of a child. But even in the arena of ultrasounds, The greatest mystery is the mystery of life. And there's still much that we don't know and can't predict in the context of the mystery of life. And just as these are the limits of human knowledge in the world of nature, kacha lo tedat maseha elokim asher yaseh et hakol. So too you don't understand the way of God who does everything. This pasuk, I believe, although it's not quoted by the Gemara, I believe this pasuk sort is the source for the Gemara that talks about three keys in the world that God maintained in his control: the key of life, the key of rain, and the key of Tchiyat HaMetim. Two out of the three are mentioned in this pasuk: Maderach HaRuach, the wind or rain, Atzamim Bebeten HaMleya, Chaya, the key of life. These are things which we don't know. Kacha lo tedat maseh alokim. Babok yezra'at zaracha, v'al erev al tenach yedecha. Therefore, plant your seed in the morning, and in the evening do not hold yourself back. Meaning, since we don't know, ki encha yodea eze yichshar hazeh ozeh, o shnehem v'im shnehem ki echad tovim, you never know which seed will take hold, which seed will be successful. The seed you plant in the morning or the seed you plant in the evening. The seed you plant in the evening is the seed of? No, not that esoteric. The seed you plant in the morning is the seed of? Not that esoteric. What seed needs ruach, avim, and geshem? Your crops. Yeah. Thank you very much. Right, your crops. So just your crops are of the seed you plant in the morning. And the seed you plant in the evening is atzamim bebeten hamleya. is the seed, is the pregnancy, is the child, is life, the seed of life. So these are the, and you never know which is more successful. You never know where you're going to be more successful, in the field of parnasa or in the field of raising children. These are the two unknowns, life and sustenance. And since you don't know, you have to do both. Simple equation. Umatoka or v'tov le'inayim lirot et ha'shamash. The light is sweet, and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. How that fits into the context of this parak, we'll come back to. Ki'im shanim harbe yichya ha'adam b'kulam yismach. Person can live many years. He should rejoice in all of them. V'yizkor et yameh ha'choshech ki harbe yu kol shebahava. And remember the days of darkness, which there will be many. Smach b'chur b'yaldutecha. V'tivcha libcha b'meh b'churatecha. Rejoice, O youth, in your youth, and fill your heart with good in the days of your youth. Ve'alech b'darachei libecha, follow the ways of your heart. Uv'mareh inecha, and follow the ways of your eyes. Ve'da, ki al kol eile yevyecha ha'elokim b'mishpat. But know that for all of this, God will hold you accountable. Remove anger from your heart, remove evil from your flesh, because youth and comes from the shachar, which is the dawn, but in terms of the dawn of life, yaldut and shacharut are synonymous. The youth is full of vanity. In your youth, remember your Creator. Remember your Creator when you are young. Before the evil days, the bad days come, the years which you will say you would have no desire in them. Until the sun does not darken, and the light does not darken, and the moon and the stars. V'shavu he'avim achar hagashem, and the clouds return after the rain. Bayom shi'azu shomrei habayit, on the day that the guards of the house shake, v'hita'avtu anshei hachayil, and the anshei hachayil are the soldiers. How do they translate anshei hachayil here? Strong men. Shouldn't become crooked. Ubatlu hatochanot kimeitu, and the grinders become few, become silenced because they are few. V'chashchu ha'ro'ot ba'arubot, and the seers in their arubot are the excuse me, a window or a what's that arubot? Windows. Arubot is a. It's like. You know, windows works. Windows in context, windows works. It's a, there's another word I was looking for, but. Chashku haraot ba'arubot. The seers in the windows become dark. V'sugud latayim bashuk. The doors in the marketplace will be closed. V'shval kol tachana. The sound of the mill will become silenced, will become slow. V'yakom lekol atzipor. And fear, or will jump at the sound of the bird. Yishachu kol b'not ashir. That's a phrase that is that challenges the mafarshim. Yishachu kol b'not ashir. How do they translate Yishachu kol b'not ashir? Daughters of music shall be brought low. Actually, it does, but I'll explain what we're talking about. It actually works together with chashchu haro'ot barubot. Remind me, I'll come back to it. Gam migavoa yirau, from above they are you're frightened, v'chatchatim baderech, and trembling along the way. V'yine'etz hashaked, v'yistabel hagav. These are phrases that Farshim struggle with. Actually, easier for me if I had an English translation. Just read the translation as we go along. V'yine'etz hashaked. The almond tree blossoms. The almond tree blossoms. V'yistabel hechagav. The grasshopper
drags itself along.
Okay. V'tafer ha'aviyona. Aviyona is a caper berry.
Right?
Yeah. It's actually a euphemism for sexual drive. Don't ask me how that's a historical context. Ki holech ha'adam el beit olamo. All of this because man is going to his final eternal rest. V'savavu b'shuk ha'sofdim. And the eulogizers are already walking in the marketplace. Ad she'lo yiratek chevel ha'kesef. Till the silver cord is not broken. V'tarutz gulat ha'zahav. And the golden head or glaza pitcher, or how does it translate? Bowl. The golden bowl is not broken. V'tishaver kad al mabua, and the pitcher is not broken upon the also what is it translated? Mabua, the fountain. V'narotz hagalgal al abor. And what's a galgal al abor? A galgal is a skull.
A wheel.
The wheel returns to the pit. V'yashov he'afar al ha'aretz kishehaya v'aruach tashuv al Elohim Hashem netana, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. All right. Anybody have a clue what we just described in this last chapter? No?
Something like, be careful what you do when you're young, because when you're old...
Come back to this parak. This parak, I don't know if I'm going to get to it today. I think this parak needs a discussion to itself. It's too powerful and too beautiful to do quickly. But I'm gonna leave it for... we'll come back to it. I want to do the first half of the first parak today. I wanted you to see the whole picture. This is the final speech of the Yireh Elokim. This is the cheery note to which he leaves us. As I said, Kohelet is not a happy-go-lucky sefer by any stretch of the imagination. But nonetheless, it is the final word in the sefer. It is the Yireh Elokim's closing arguments, and for our purposes, he is addressing his comments specifically to his colleagues. So what we have to figure out is what is he saying to whom, and then much will become clear as we go along. One of the primary accusations of the Chacham to the Yireh Elokim throughout the last dialogue back and forth is that the Yireh Elokim is a fool because he constantly refers to the fact that we are not knowledgeable. If you remember back in Perek Yud, where he calls the Yireh Elokim a fool because the Yireh Elokim says, because the fool, the Yireh Elokim, says foolish things like, man cannot possibly know what will be and what will be after him or in his future. He will never be able to know. That was a quote from the Yireh Elokim, and I showed you where that quote was taken from. The response of the Yireh Elokim here is actually to feed into that accusation and to acknowledge it. Because essentially the theme that runs through this whole parak, if I were to ask you what's the most recurring phrase in Parak Yud Aleph? What phrase appears more often than any other phrase in that whole first parak, Parak Yud Aleph? That which you do not know. Starting with Pasuk Gimel. Ten chelek l'shiva v'gam l'shmana ki lo teda ma'iyeh. Ma'iyeh al ha'aretz. Put aside a portion for 7 and 8, because you never know, because you don't know what calamity, what evil will befall the earth. Pasuk Hey, kasher incha yodea maderech haruach. You don't know the way of the ruach. Ka'atzamim bebetan amalayah. You don't know the way of life, and pregnancy, and what sustains life. Kachalot teidat maseha elokim. You can't know the deeds of God. Pasuk Vav again. Ki incha yodea eze yichshar hazeh hazeh. You don't know which endeavor will be more successful, the seed that you plant in the morning or the seed that you plant in the evening. Therefore, do both. Whereas the Chacham saw the lack of knowledge as a debilitating phenomenon, because the whole notion of Chochmah is that I know everything. And whatever there is to know, I can attain through my experience and through my knowledge. That's what Chochmah, in the classic sense of the term in the ideology of the Chacham, was all about. I look at the world, see the experiences, and draw the conclusions based on who I am and what I perceive. And therefore, there's no such thing as you don't know or you can't know. In the world of science, one of the most revolutionary concepts was a concept in modern physics known as the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. Because what it said was, for the first time, that there's a limitation to what science can know. Essentially argued that a particular phenomenon in nature is not knowable. It's an uncertainty principle. There's a lack of knowledge. It's not just based on the fact that we haven't developed the measurement for it. It's not within our grasp. The Chacham can't understand that. He can't accept that. Only the Yirei Elokim, who has a notion of faith, is prepared to accept that he doesn't know everything, and yet there's still purpose to the journey. The Yirei Elokim is prepared to plant his seed, not knowing when it's going to rain. That's a debilitating concept for the Chacham and for the Amal as well. For the Yirei Elokim, that's the bread and butter of the Yirei Elokim. You plant and then you go and daven. And you do your share and then you hope for the best. To the Amal and to the Chacham, it's antithetical to everything they stood for, because the world is in my grasp. I have to be able to understand it or control it or mandate it or rule it. And the Yirei Elokim is Dafka, the one who says, the fact that there's so much unknown in the world is what forces me into a position of being the Yirei Elokim. Because I don't know, because there's much that we can't know, therefore you do your share, you do what you have to do. You don't know which is going to be successful. So instead of throwing in the towel as the Amal did, or complaining about it as the Chacham did, the Yirei Elokim says, do both. Therefore, do both. And ultimately recognize that the rest of it is in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're driving up a cliff. Driving up a road that's going straight uphill. When you're driving up the road and you get to the top of the hill, what happens to the road? As you're driving up, here's your mountain road, and you're driving up. What happens to the road? When you're driving up, what's happening to the road? From your perception, what happens to the road? It stops right here. That's the end of the road. There's nothing more. What you see is what you get. If you were the Chacham, or you were the Amal, you wouldn't journey that road. Because it has no end. But if you're the Yirei Elokim, you're going to start that journey because in Chayadah, you don't know where it's going to go. And ultimately, if it goes somewhere, it will go wherever the Ribbono Shel Olam takes it. The emuna of the one who's driving up that road is dafka, that even though he can't see the end of the road, he knows that it's there. That's the metaphor of the Yirei Elokim. He journeys life even though he doesn't know where it's going to go. The Chacham has to know where life is going to go. The Amal has to know where life is going to go. The Yirei Elokim is prepared to say, in chaya there, you don't know. But therefore, go out and plant your seed. Go out and do. Go out and embrace the world. Do whatever you can, and then leave the rest up to the Ribbono Shel Olam.
That first line in chapter 11, cast thy bread upon the waters, or thou shalt find it after many days. What does that mean?
I think it's essentially saying the same thing, which is that you're, that not necessarily that you will find it after many days, but that ultimately the chances are it will come back to you because of the many opportunities. In the vernacular, it's become known as an idiomatic expression for try it. You never know what, you don't have anything to lose. Right? You ever hear the expression shlach lachmacha? You ever hear the idiomatic expression shlach lachmacha? No? Nobody? I don't know if it's a Hebrewism or a Yiddishism. But shlach lachmacha is an expression you use when you want to say, take a chance. Take a chance. What do you have to lose? Shlach lachmacha upnei amayim. Cast thy bread upon the waters for a multitude of days. It'll come back to you. You never know. You can't lose anything. What are you going to lose? A piece of bread? Ultimately, you may get it back. It may come back to you. You may find it again. You may have invested in something that you don't never know when it's going to bring success. Guaranteed? No. Nothing in this life is guaranteed. But that's part of the philosophy of the Yirei Elokim. You have to try. The Amal would never engage in a business transaction if he didn't know it was in his complete control to make sure that it worked out in the end. Because that's what an Amal is. The world's in his control. Only his control. And that's exactly what the Yirei Elokim argued to him. Nothing's in your control. Shomer ruach lo yizra. If you're waiting for the weather to meet your exact needs so that you can plant your fields, in assurance that there's going to be the right amount of rain, and then you can harvest your fields in assurance that it's going to be exactly the right weather, you will never plant and you will never harvest. And that ultimately was where the Amal was frustrated. Nothing he could do could succeed in absolute terms because it was constantly thwarted by the unknown, the calamitous, and the finite and fatal. Whereas the Yirei Elokim developed the philosophy of the Mitukashnata Oved, the laborer who sleeps well at night because his job is to do the labor, do the work, not necessarily to achieve the goal. The Gavoa Mi'al Gavoa, if you remember that hierarchical concept of the partnership between man and God. So you don't wait for the weather to meet your exact needs. You plan. And you do. And then you leave the rest up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So four times he says to the Chacham and to the Yirei, to the Amal, although I think in this particular passage he's probably talking more to the Amal than to the Chacham, that there is some point in this world in which you can't know everything that's in your power. You're not in control. In Chayodea, lo teda, ki in Chayodea, lo teda, four times. Until Pasuk Tet. I skipped the whole section intentionally. I'll come back to it. But at the end of Pasuk Tet, after four references to that which man cannot know, can't know the weather, can't know the wind, can't know the rain, can't know the seed, can't know the life, can't know so much of what makes life fundamental until Pasuk Tet, where he says, Smach b'cho b'yaltutecha, the beginning of it is not my issue. Veda. Veda. Ki ha'kol ele yevi'echa Elokim b'mishpat. Know that there will be judgment and accountability. You don't know the weather. You don't know the wind. You don't know the seed. You don't know the planting. You don't know the world. You don't know. You're not in control of the stock market, and you're not in control of the price of oil, and you're not in control of so many things in life. What you don't know, but one thing the Yirei Elokim says, da, this know with absolute certainty. The only thing that to the Yirei Elokim is an absolute certainty. Al kol ele yevi'echa Elokim b'mishpat. Before everything, there is accountability before God. That's the only thing the Yirei Elokim knows with certainty. He doesn't know where this road is going to go. Has no idea what's at the top of the cliff. The Amal is not even going to start the journey because I don't know where it ends. The Yirei Elokim will start the journey because he knows that there's a road at the other end of this cliff. Where that road goes, how that road goes, he has no idea. But one thing he knows for sure. He knows where that journey ends. He knows that there's a judgment before God at the end of the day. And it makes a difference because it affects everything along the way. Everything along the way is empowered or limited or transformed by the knowledge that there is accountability at the end of the journey. If this is your journey, if this is your road on your hill, to put it in Kohelet metaphors, this is your journey through life. And the Amal was only prepared to go so far because he was only prepared to go as far as he could see and control. And the Yirei Elokim says to him, not everything in life is in your control. Or can you foresee? There's a point at the top of the cliff where there's a line where there's a horizon. You can see past the horizon. But know what lies at the end of that horizon. And that's the message to the Amal. Yes. That's the piece that I skipped. In this parak, what I see happening in this parak is the Yirei Elokim's message is addressed to each one of his colleagues in one and in turn, or as one and then separately. The same message in terms of that the Amal can understand is formulated as seed planting life, the Betan. Remember what the Amal, one of the calling cards of the Amal was this constant refrain about how Tov Mimenu Anefa, better not to be born, better the stillborn is better than the one who's lived through the experience of life and not unsuccessfully. Had this ideological battle with being born. Ultimately, the Amal wrote himself out of the book by saying that better not to be born than to be born and have to go through the endless cycle of a journey. So the fact that the Amal throws into this list of things that you can't know and understand, atzamim bebetan hamalaya, the bones of an unborn child in a womb, it's not an accident. That's a metaphor that's taken right out of the phraseology, out of the imagery of the Amal. And he says, you never know what life is filled with. And to the Amal, that meant don't embark on the journey. Because if I don't know how the journey is going to end, there's no point. How did Kohelet begin? How does the story of Kohelet begin? Remember back to our very first class? Remember the metaphor of nature? The four parts of the four elements of nature or states of nature that Kohelet used as a metaphor for the endless futile cycle of life. What were the four elements? Wind, fire, sun, and water. Right? Those are the four elements, and those are exactly the four states of nature, and that's exactly what he uses here. The ruach, the yam, or the mayim, esh, and the afar. And what he describes in that first perek is how each one of these reflects a certain cycle that is futile. And it's that futility, that fact that you end up exactly where you started, that frustrated Kohelet, frustrated the Amal and the Chacham and the Nehaneh. It doesn't frustrate the Yirei Elokim. Why? Because the Yirei Elokim, the whole purpose is not the goal. It's the journey.
That's what I'm struggling with here. That the thing that we're saying is the beginning that Yireh Elokim is saying you should diversify your portfolio and because and plant a lot of things because you don't know which ones are going to work and which isn't. So that doesn't sound like, that sounds like she's looking for the gold, which is to have something to eat, you know, or some money for retirement.
He's looking for all the goals. In other words, to the Amal, who basically, because of this frustration, said, what was the Amal's conclusion based on this frustration? They're about to be born. To respond to the Amal as an Amal, says the Yireh Elokim, better to be born and better to go through the process. And what frustrated him? I'm going to plant my seeds and I don't know if it's going to grow. I don't know if it's going to produce. Plant your seeds. Plant a lot of seeds, plant seeds in the morning, plant seeds in the evening, engage life. As an Amal, engage life. Because you don't know everything and not everything is in your control. That's exactly the message to the Amal. Not everything's in your control. As an Amal, do exactly what an Amal wants to do. Zorea, Ruach, Mayim, those are terminologies that are relevant to the Amal. And to the Amal, the Yireh Elokim responds and says, the Ruach, the cycle, you know that cycle of wind that we talked about at the beginning of the Sefer that has no purpose? Guess what? It has a wonderful purpose. You know what that purpose is? It brings, takes the seed from place to place. How does he start the perek? Imimalu he'avim geshem ala aretz yariku. If the clouds fill with rain, they'll empty them over the on the earth. Right, there's the wind will carry the seeds and will plant, and suddenly the cycle of wind that took that goes around the north, south, east, west, that just goes in an endless circle, is part of a fabric of life that takes your seed from one place to another and brings new life into the world that has purpose, that has value. Shomer ruach lo yizra. If you're looking for the exact moment of the wind, you're never going to find it. You look at the cycle of water, look at the cycle of wind. These are valuable if you look at it not from the perspective of what's in your control, but from the perspective of your role in a broader picture of what's in the Ribbono Shel Olam's control. It all boils down to knowledge. If you have to be in complete control of everything that happens and you have to know everything, you are going to be frustrated. But if you're prepared to let go of that arrogance and say, I'll do my share, I'll plant, and plant a lot, and do whatever I can, and plant in the morning, and plant in the evening, and engage in life, and engage in sustenance, and engage the world, then let the Ribbono Shel Olam do the rest. Because that's exactly Gavoah Me'al Gavoah. That's the partnership that we spoke about. So in terms of the Amal, that's exactly what he wants. He wants that cycle of the Ruach. He wants the cycle of the Mayim. He wants him to be seeding and planting. He wants him to be building. Just wants to take away that arrogance that says you have to be in control of everything. The Elohim says to him, you don't have to be in control. You have to do your share. That's a classic response to the Amal. What about to the Chacham? So if you look at the next two psukim, sorry, to the Chacham. Pasuk Zayin. Umatok ha'or v'tov le'enayim lirot et ha'shemesh. Light is sweet and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. Kim shanim harbe yichye ha'adam b'kulam yismach v'yizkor et yamei ha'choshech ki harbei. Person lives for many years, he should enjoy the years of light because there will be many years of darkness. What are we talking about? Knowledge. Remember that in Kohelet, and we've seen this a few times, light is synonymous with Chochmah. We saw it back in Perek Bet, V'ra'iti ani she'yishitron la'chochmah min ha'sichlut ki'itron ha'or min ha'choshech. Light over darkness, the advantage of wisdom over folly. We saw it, Hachacham enav birosho, the wise man has eyes in his head, the fool walks in darkness, v'aksil b'choshech olech. We saw it in Perek Zayin, Tova chochma im nachala v'yoter l'ro'ei ha'shemesh, those who see the sun are referring to the wisdom. This is a constant refrain in Kohelet, to which the Yireh Elokim in his final remark says, Matoka or, v'tov le'naim l'ro'ot et ha'shemesh. You want to talk about wisdom? chacham. It's wonderful. It's very sweet. It's very good. Something to embrace. But it's not all inclusive. Not everything is based on chokhmah. Why? Because there are times and years and days that are filled with darkness. Darkness meaning things you don't know. Days in which you don't have knowledge. Things that are out of your control. Aspects of life which you don't know. In chat yodea. Aspects of life, times in life, which are filled with choshech, darkness. Tov le'naim lo tot ha'shemesh. It's good to see the sun. But when there are moments of clarity, smach b'chor b'yaldotecha, kim shanim harbe yechia adam b'kulam yismach, rejoice over many years, u'zuchor et yemei ha'choshech, but remember that there are days of darkness. There's a limit to what you can know and what you can learn. Human mind is finite, which is exactly the response to the Chacham, who complained bitterly about the fact that he's not running the world, because he's the only one who understands the world and understands everything there is to know in the world. Elohim is prepared to accept a broader, more infinite source of knowledge in the world, says to him, there are lots of Yemei HaChoshech. There are lots of days of darkness when the finite mind will fail you. Things you don't know. Same horizon on the journey uphill. Same unknown in a cycle that brings you back to the beginning. Same cycle of fire, Esh, Shemesh. That was endless and futile, to which the Yirei Elokim gives now meaning. It says there is value to acquiring knowledge, to acquiring wisdom, to acquiring an understanding of the world, to engaging in an understanding of the world, both physical and spiritual. There's value to that. But not to the arrogance of thinking that you have to attain and understand everything there is to understand. And then he turns to the Nehene and Pasuk Tet. Pasuk Tet. Smach Bachur B'Yaldutecha. Rejoice, O young one, in your youth. Who was the youngest of all our four companions? The Nehene. It's interesting to note that the four personalities, we've identified them as four different personalities in Kohelet's personal experience. It's not hard, it's not a stretch to see them as four stages of life. The youth, the carefree, self-centered youth, the middle-aged trying to embrace the world and acquire what you can, older, saged wisdom and understanding of the world, and ultimately the Yirei Elokim, who finally comes to a grasp of the fact that not everything is in our control and within our knowledge. And Dafka, the Yirei Elokim, in the last session, the last perek, is when it talks about death more than anything else. It's not hard to see them as four stages of life. But the Nehene is clearly the youngest. And he says to the Nehene, you want to run around and party all day long? Smach b'chor b'yaldutecha. You want to rejoice when you're young? Go for it. When you're a bachor and you want to engage in that which will make your heart light and good, by all means, follow your heart, follow your eyes. That's what the youth wants to do. There is value to that. There's energy in youth. What's the old adage? Youth is wasted on the young? Or childhood is wasted on the young, or something like that. There's value to youth. There's energy there. There's idealism. There's much to be said. Vida. But there's also a lot of inexperience and a lack of knowledge. So to the bachor, to the yeled, he says to him, Da, ki al kol ele yivyecha Elokim b'mishpat. There is accountability before God for everything you see. Ve'aser kas milibecha, remove the anger from your heart, v'haver ra'a mibzarecha, the evil from your flesh, ki adut v'ashacharut hevel, uzchor et borecha bimei b'churatecha. When you're young, remember your Creator. I beyond the superficiality of the words, I'm not sure. The Nehneh was certainly angry. The Nehneh of all the personalities, I think, was most angry. He yelled the loudest. Certainly in the end of Perek Tet, when he starts talking about the wicked and the evil and the tzaddik v'ra'al and rasha v'tovlo and his conclusion that you should just eat and drink and be merry for and there's nothing left in the world and there's nothing in the grave. And that was certainly an angry personality. Take away the brunt of the emotional response of the Nehneh and recognize. I think that's the key phrase here. Because the Nehneh is the one personality in Kohelet who it refuses to recognize, certainly by the end, not the way the Nehneh began, but certainly by the way the Nehneh ended, refuses to recognize the notion of God, afterlife, spirituality. To the Nehneh, it's only the here and now. It's very finite. And that's very much that's the mindset of youth. And how many people in their 20s write a will? Because they don't see mortality. It's an irrelevancy to them. It takes experience and age and life experience to recognize that mortality is a reality. And we have to acknowledge it, recognize it, deal with it. Right? At the age of 16, 17, 18, nobody's thinking about mortality. And so he says, Bimei b'churatecha, when you're young, if you want to understand the world properly, as in Yirei Elokim, in your youth, Zuchor et Borecha, remember your Creator. That's why there's such energy in the young yeshiva boys, in the young, those who embrace the experience of religious life. When they're young, they do so with, especially the yeshiva experience, they do so with a gusto, with an energy, with a strength. Because that's exactly how you can. Even then, you're not going to be able to understand mortality. It's so beyond the frame of reference of youth. But at least if you recognize that every single thing you do, everything you say, every action that you take, ad asher lo yavo yemei hara'ah, when you're still young, before the evil days that you don't want, before the days of old age come upon you, before the experiences of death creep into your life. When you're young, zuchor et borecha, and you can recognize that al kol ele yivyecha lekim b'mishpat, that there is judgment and just and judgment for everything you do. If you can achieve, if you can recognize that when you're young, then you can go through life with that in mind. That same sense of daki al kol ele yivyecha lekim b'mishpat will infuse everything you do. So that when you want to enjoy yourself when you're young, you can. To put it into classic halachic terms, you want to enjoy a good barbecue, because hey, just make sure you make a bracha over it. Zchor et borecha, bimei b'churatecha. You want to have a good party, because hey, just make sure it's kosher. In the broader sense of the term. Zchor et borecha, bimei b'churatecha. Smach b'chor b'yaldatecha. Rejoice. Don't throw away the values and the benefits and the enjoyments of life, but temper them and tailor them and contextualize them. Ad Asher lo yavo yemei hara'a. Do so when you're young, before the days of evil are upon you. V'yagiyu shanim asher tamar en li bahem chefetz. And those days come which you said you have no desire. What transpires next at the end of this parak, if you give me 10 minutes, we can finish. If we go 10 minutes past our predetermined time, I think we can finish. Zchor b'erech b'meir b'chortecha ad asher lo yagir b'hem yemei hara'a v'gir shanim asher tamar en li b'hem chefetz. What follows next is one of the most profound and powerful poetic descriptions of the process of old age and death. In metaphorical terms, Kohelet describes to a young man, to a bachur, to a yelet, who has no sense of what death is all about, to the nehenah who said that death is irrelevant to him, and therefore the only reality that he cares about is the eating and the drinking, because that's the only thing he sees. He can't see death. It's irrelevant to him. Death is a non-entity in his equation. So the Yirei Elokim says to the Bachur, to the Nehenah, Ad asher lo techshach ha-shemesh v'ha-or. You know what? I'm going to quote from a Gemara, so I'll give you the source, just because I skipped a whole bunch of the sources on this page. But I'm gonna. There's one Gemara that I want to go through with you, so I'll just take one and pass it back. Pasuk Bet. Ad asher lo techshach ha-shemesh. V'ha'or v'hayareach v'akochavim. Until the sun and the light and the moon and the stars darken. V'shavu he'avim acharagashem. And the clouds return after the rain. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Shabbos, source number 5, Daf Kufnun Aleph, takes each one of these phrases and explains the metaphor to each one. This is Shemesh v'ha'or zupadachat v'achotem, the light and the dark and the sun refers to the forehead and the nose. V'hayareach, the moon refers to the neshama, refers to the soul. V'akochavim, the stars refer to the lisatot, refer to the cheeks. V'shavu he'avim achar ha'geshem, the cloud that returns after the rain. Zuma'or einav shel adam sheholech achar habechi. This is the light of man's eyes, which is lost after crying, after tears. And then the pasuk goes on and says, "Biyom shiazu'u shomrei habayit." On the day that the keeper of the house trembles. What is the keeper of the house? The Gemara says it refers to the sides, the ribs. What is it's a much simpler explanation. What are the keeper of the house? In contrast to hitavtu anshei achayil, until the strong men that shall bow themselves. What are we referring to? What are the keeper of the house and what are the strong men that shake and bow and bend? The spine, the legs, the hands, the shomrei habayit, referring to the trembling of the hands. The anshei achayil, the strong men, the spine, the legs, which begin to bend, hitavtu, become crooked. Ubatlu hatochanot kime'etu, and the grinders cease because they are few. Teeth. V'chashchu hara'ot ba'arubot, and the lookers through the windows are darkened. Mitch. The eyes. v'sugrud latayim bashuk, and the doors in the marketplace are shut. So the Gemara says elu nekavav shel adam, refers to the apertures, right? Referring to the digestive system, which begins to break down step by step. Whether the glatayim are referring to teeth as well, or to some other component of the digestive system. Bishval kol tachana, the sound of the grinding is low. The Gemara says it refers to the kurkavan shenot tochen, refers to the failure of the digestive tract. Biyakum lekol tzipor, shall rise up the voice of a bird. Rashi says, the Gemara says, afilu tzipor min aratom mishinato, even a bird will wake him from his sleep. One of the manifestations of old age is we sleep less and we sleep lightly. Ve'yakom l'kol atzipor v'yishachu kol b'not tashir, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Meaning? I said I'd come back to that. Not yet. Hearing goes. Can't hear the songs. Can't hear the voices. Everything comes down to a whisper. Gam migavoy yirau, from above, they will be afraid. Gemara says, refers to shafilu gabshushit ktana domelav kihare harim, even a small hill looks like the tallest of mountains. Becomes hard to walk. Becomes hard to climb the hill. Bechatchatim badarach, there are terrors along the way. So walking down the street is a difficult journey. V'yena'etz ha-shaked, the almond tree is, what is it now? Etz ha-shaked, the almond is what does it say? It refers to the coccyx, yeah, the tailbone. Has it referred to the tailbone? Not quite sure, but it's, I'll tell you what it is referring to. V'yistabel ha-chagav, the grasshopper is a burden. V'tafer ha-aviyona, and the caper berry fails. This is all a euphemism or a metaphor for the failure of, right, the failure of sexuality, the loss of the physical drive. Ki holech adam el beit olamo. All of this because a person is going to his eternal rest. He's not yet dead. He's still alive. But the physical body is deteriorating, and ultimately the ravages of old age have taken a person step by step, each component of life, the hearing and the sight and the digestive system and the ability to walk and the ability to and the hands tremble. One of the most painful expressions in the Sefer. He's still alive. And the eulogizers are walking through the marketplace. Professional eulogizers who get paid for the eulogy. The biblical equivalent of the, well, I don't know what to say. Right? They're waiting. They're waiting. Ad asher lo yaratek chevel hakesef, until the silver cord is cut. V'tarutz gulat hazahav, and the golden bowl is destroyed. The golden bowl referring to the skull, the tishaver kad al mabua, and the pitcher is broken, the nerotza gagal al abor, and the wheels go into the pit. All of that a reference to the decomposition of the body in the grave. The shavavu bashuka sofdim, the person dies, is eulogized, and the process continues. The decay of the body doesn't stop when the person dies. The decay of the body starts when a person is still alive, and it continues after death in the grave. And if we stop there, the Amal, the Chacham, and the Nehenah would all be correct. But the Yirei Elokim goes one step further. Yashov ha'afar, V'yashov ha'afar el ha'aretz k'shehaya v'haruach tashuv el Elokim asher netana. want to talk about the ultimate meaning of the circle, the cycle? The dust. From dust we come, from dust we return. To dust we return. The dust returns to the earth. Shov afar al aret kishaya. But v'haruach, but the spirit, the soul, the human being, nehene, who can't understand the world because you don't understand that there's a neshama, there's an eternal component of the human being, there's a chelek alokam imal, there's a component of the divine within us. That never dies. V'haruach tashuv al alokim asher netana. That goes back to God. And then we stand before the Rabbanu Shlalom over the entire process. That's the message to the Nehneh, who said death is irrelevant to him. He can't see it. It has no meaning. And the Yirei Elokim says to him, do you want to see the relevancy of death? Come with me for a walk. We'll take a walk to the geriatric ward of a hospital. And I'll show you what death is all about. And you tell me that it's irrelevant. When you're watching people literally dying before your eyes, slowly over the course of time. And then tell me to my face that nobody can bring me to understand or to recognize that death is any component of my reality. I live in the here and now. You want to see death? I'll take you on a walk. And see people who are half dead or quarter, holding on to life by a thread. And to the Nehneh, he says, when you're young, take that walk. Don't wait till you're old. Zchor et borecha b'yimei b'churatecha ad asher lo yavoh yimei hara'ah. When the days of evil have not come upon you, when the days of darkness have not embraced you, when you're still young, Zchor et Borecha, remember your Creator, come with me for that walk. And I'll show you what the relevancy of death is. And then you'll understand that ultimately all of this is a cycle that leads to the same conclusion. V'da, ki al kol ele yivyecha alokim b'mishpat, God will hold us accountable. We stand before the Ribbono shel Olam. V'ashov el afar el haaretz kishehaya. V'haruach tashuv el alokim asher netana. The spirit returns to God. And you can't live life without recognizing that ultimately it all comes back to its source. And that's his answer to the Amal, to the Nehneh, and to the Chacham. What we see is only part of the picture. We see the uphill of the journey. We reach a horizon, and then our vision stops. And the Amal who tried to create and build and stopped at the horizon, the Chacham who tried to understand and got stuck at the horizon, and the Nehneh who never bothered with the journey because he knew the horizon was up here. All three of them built a philosophy around an assumption that what we see is the only reality that matters. And it takes the Yirei Elokim, who's the only one of the four personalities who's prepared to say and to perceive, because he's a man of faith, because he's a man that says, I don't have to know everything. I can open my horizons and accept that there's much to be learned that's beyond my scope, beyond my understanding. He's prepared to say, there's another part of the journey. There's a road on the other side. That cycle that brings us back to the beginning doesn't bring us back to the beginning. Ruach, Mayim, Esh, Afar, all four elements of that cycle with which Kohelet began are redeemed in this parak. The cycle of Ruach, the cycle of Mayim, both necessary for plant and for life, the cycle of Esh, or wisdom and understanding, and the cycle of dust, which returns to the earth so that the spirit can be released to the back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. All four elements of that cycle with which Kohelet began are redeemed by the Yirei Elokim, because he's prepared to say what we know is limited, with the exception of the fact that al kol ele yivyecha Elokim b'mishpat, there is judgment, there is accountability. And that's essentially the conclusion of Kohelet. That's where the Sefer ends. With that sense of mishpat, of judgment before God. The rest of the Sefer, the last eight psukim or nine psukim, as a summary from Pasuk Chet till the end, we will discuss when we do the summary session. Sof Tavar Kol Nishmat Alakim Yom Mitzvotav Shemor Kizeh Kol Adam. After all the arguments have been heard, guard the commandments, do the commandments, because that is the totality of man. Ki et kol ma'aseh ha'elokim yaviba mishpat. For every deed shall be brought before God in judgment. Al kol ne'olam im tov im ra, on everything that is not known, whether good or bad, on every fact of this world, there is a judgment. That's essentially the conclusion of the Sefer. That's the conclusion of the Yireh Elokim. Okay. We've gone over our time, but I think we've actually finished. I think we can make a quasi-siyum. But we have one more session, which we will, Mirtz Hashem, schedule either for 2 weeks, for 3 weeks from now on a Tuesday night, or on a Monday night, or possibly at some other time. Although at this point, I think if we have, if we finished this, we have one more session. Is the review. We finished. We've done. I skipped a whole bunch of sources, but essentially we right? So we could do one more session, would be the review. It's a very important piece because it really brings together all the pieces. If we did it on a Monday, it would be, what's 3 weeks from now?
The 16th.
The 16th.